You're listening to the City Gospel Movement's podcast, where we celebrate and accelerate collaborative gospel work in cities around the world.
We believe God is already at work in your city. We're here to help you ask, what is God doing where I live, and how can I join in?
If you love your city, love the church, and believe God can do amazing things in your city, you're in the right place.
Let's get started.
Where once I would have separated or differentiated between what I'm doing as my work and what I'm doing as my service, I now am allowing those two things to just beautifully and harmoniously, as God would have it, coexist in my life.
Hey, everybody, this is Stephanie Weber, and I wanted to just take a few minutes and introduce you to a new program that we've started on our citygospelmovements.org website, and it's our coaching program. We know that this is hard work, and we do not want you to do it alone. And so we've gathered a group of leaders who have been at this for a while, who have had some of the hard knocks and gotten back up, and are willing to share their experiences with all of you. And I thought it would be fun today to just interview one of those leaders for a few minutes. It's Rich Carney, who is the executive director of ABBA, Austin Bridge Builders Alliance, out of Austin, Texas. And Rich is a man of vision. His experience spans military, government, church, and faith-based ministries. He's earned an impeccable reputation for mobilizing the business community in cities across North America. It provides him with a unique cross-cultural and organizational perspective to maximize excellence. Rich became the executive director of Austin Bridge Builders Alliance in 2014, and we're so thankful to have him as one of our coaches. Rich, before we get started, can you just tell everybody why you said yes when we asked if you'd consider just really volunteering your time to be a coach and come alongside other city movements?
Well, Stephanie, first of all, it's good to talk to you. I get to see you on Zoom. You're not getting to see Stephanie. She is a wow woman, and you need to know her. She's wonderful. And everybody at the Plow organization, Kevin Plow, it's really been his heart. And then Lizzie, you just got to meet the crew. So anywhere you go in life, you cannot make things happen unless you work with other people. And so the question I was asked just now is, what drew me to this? Community. The Word of God is a theology of community. You know, we got disconnected with God, we got disconnected from each other. Ultimately, we're going to be in a big old city, and we're all going to be together. And in life, I find that the biggest issue we face, you didn't ask me this, but I'm going to say it anyway, the biggest issue we face,
go for it, Rich.
Okay, is isolation. And it's the biggest enemy we have. It's not sin. Sin happens, yes, but that's the tactic of the enemy is to isolate us from our spouse, from our friends. And when that happens, sin's really easy to take us out. And so why I was drawn to this and why it's important to me is that we need to unite the tribes. I'm telling you, if we come together, there's nothing we can't do. So that's really the heart of why I got involved.
So if people are listening and they're going, I don't know if I would have a big enough issue, or maybe I don't know enough about city movements to even engage with a coach, how would you encourage someone who might just be intimidated to kind of ask that next question? How would you encourage them?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. Folks, come on. First of all, if you're just starting out, you need somebody to run something by. I mean, none of us are getting paid dollars. We're all doing this because we have a love for others in our community. And in between us, I haven't counted it all up, but I think it's pretty close to over 100 years worth of ministry experience if you count everybody that's involved with this. And that's pretty significant. You need to tap into that. Really, there's nothing too small. And if you're a big organization, I think some of us are already there. And I think we can walk alongside you. And why should you fall in the same mud hole that I fell in two or three times? Why can't I help you avoid that? And besides that, life's too short. Let's have some fun. I mean, my goodness, when you're talking to me, I'm going to learn from you. And hopefully vice versa. So reach out and talk to us. We don't bite. We're fun. And if I can't answer your question, which is probably true, there's got to be somebody else on the team that can do it.
Well, as you can tell, Rich has just a real heart for people, even though he has an extensive background and in all sorts of categories. First and foremost, Rich cares about the city, and he cares about his city, and he cares about your city. And one of the things that Rich is also doing is he's a host for the GLS that happens in early August every year. And, you know, one of the things that we have seen through the GLS is that oftentimes you're bringing large groups of people around a big event. And oftentimes this group then looks at each other after the GLS and says, wow, maybe there's more we could do together than just this one event. So Rich, I'd love for you to just share your vision and your heart, why the GLS, and then how would you encourage people who are doing that in their cities, like yourself, being a host, gathering people, to kind of propel them into a more sustainable effort or movement in their city?
Well, first of all, the Global Leadership Summit is simulcast from Global Leadership Network out of Chicago. And there's over 400,000 people around the world that watch this, which makes it the largest leadership simulcast in the world. But getting to the point that Stephanie asked, how do we utilize this for the kingdom in our city for taking next steps? And there's really two or three great answers. We're asking a probing question while we're there. Is there purpose in my work? How do I find my calling in my career? You know, those kind of questions. And then second of all, how do I live my faith out in community? And next steps come in two or three varieties. One is a lot of folks working downtown in Austin. You know, we have 165 people coming to Austin every single day. We're growing all over the place. You people can stop coming. Anyway,
that's I think most of us could say that about our cities.
I know. And I say that jokingly because I want more people here because that gives me a chance. We can share the gospel. And we, you know, people are wonderful. And so at the end of the day, we have like 26 companies downtown that we have a thing called workplace fellowships. And the need that was met there is people are saying, hey, I want to know that I'm not alone in the workplace. And so these workplace fellowships are for Christians. It's about fellowship. The other one is we're going to offer is everybody has an opportunity to participate in what next steps I need to do with coming out of the GLS. I got a state or I put together a plan. And so we're going to have a business luncheon, a series of luncheons in the fall. And they can attend these where we'll have great speakers from our area that will facilitate, say, hey, you made some decisions. What are you doing with them? And then they're going to get a chance to rub shoulders, also network. It's okay for Christian business leaders to make money doing business with each other. And so we're going to do that. And then thirdly, we're going to offer a variety of other options for people. We have an emergent leader initiative. We have millennials that are in leadership positions. They're connected to a senior CEO in our city for a one-year coaching partnership. So that's just a little bit of what we're going to do and our answer to that.
Well, I think it's great. And as you can all tell, Rich has tons of energy, lots of ideas, and he would love to share them with you. So please reach out on our citygospelmovements.org website, go to our coaching page, sign up, and let us set you up with a coach like Rich, and let us help you into that next step and the next phase of the movement in your city. Well, everybody, thanks for joining us on another episode of the City Gospel Movements podcast. I'm Stephanie Weber, and today we have an incredible leader with us. Amy Gamboyan is a former executive at a large privately held organization in Omaha, Nebraska, and she is currently the executive leadership coach at Who You Are Leadership Coaching and Consulting. In addition to Amy's incredible corporate and executive background, Amy has been giving her life in incredible ways. Most recently, she is the chair of the OmahaLeaders.com organization. She's the citywide strategist for the GLS, the Global Leadership Summit. She's also the Global Leadership Summit for LifeGate Church. And now she is also the champion for the marketplace at LifeGate Church and their Legacy Builders Group. So we squeezed in a few minutes with Amy because, as you can see, she is an incredibly busy person, but her story is so significant and one that I think that you all will really, really enjoy listening to. So Amy, thank you so much for joining us on the City Gospel Movement podcast today.
Thank you, Stephanie, and hello to all of our awesome listeners. It's a privilege to be here with you today.
Well, Amy, you're an incredible leader, and you started your career very young, and you climbed really quickly. I know it would be really fun for people to just hear a little bit of your early journey and your story kind of into corporate, and then we'll kind of weave into the now of how there's been some life changes for you that have really ignited a passion for your city and for marketplace leaders. But I want to start with kind of where did this whole thing begin, and just give us a snapshot of just those early days for you.
Well, my career began after I graduated from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, and I was offered a position with the University of Nebraska Foundation to be their first stewardship coordinator, which was a wonderful opportunity, one I felt very privileged to receive, especially coming right out of college. In that role, I had the opportunity to build and nurture relationships with the top donors of the university in the midst of a campaign at that time that was called Campaign Nebraska, that was designed to impact all four branches of the university. And really enjoyed the core of the work there, but I found that a lot of the red tape and a lot of the bureaucracy that existed within the organization was really difficult for me to navigate on a day-to-day basis. And I found myself quickly becoming pretty frustrated and not overly passionate about the work that I was doing, because I found it really difficult to move anything forward, to create any significant movement. And since that time, I've realized that that's a really big calling on my life. And so I began thinking about what else I might do. And as a fourth generation entrepreneur, it really was no surprise that I began looking at what I could do, what I could build in terms of my own business. And so at 23 years old, really just a short time after I had actually started that first leg out in being a career person after college, I began my own business. And I was really attracted to that because I was excited about being able to create something new, build something from the ground up, cast a vision, mobilize people, and experience fulfillment on a daily basis in my career.
So you start being an entrepreneur and things start going crazy, right? You are wildly successful. You start kind of climbing the corporate ladder. Talk us through that little period of time that just kind of went from just starting to, holy cow, this is the real deal.
Yeah, that did happen very quickly. In fact, 6 months after I had started what I believed at that time was going to be a side business, I was leaving my position at the University of Nebraska Foundation and going full time into building this new business and supporting myself solely on that income. So within that time frame, I had gone from just me to building a large team and stepping into a leadership role with that company and being just hook, line, and sinker, completely and totally engaged in every part of that process and what that looked like. What I did not realize at that point in time in my life is that entire experience was going to very quickly become an extended part of a performance addiction that I had battled really since I was school age as a child. And every part of this new experience that I had stepped into tapped into that performance addiction and really had me fully entrenched in that addiction being completely full blown.
So what does that look like? You know, I think that is probably not too uncommon for a lot of people who are in this very, very, oftentimes very cutthroat environment of corporate America. So how did that manifest itself in your life? What are the kind of the signs that you can now look back and go, oh yeah, I didn't see it then, but I see it now?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. And you know, it was an interesting role to be in because I served a corporation, but I was an independent business owner. And so it actually meant that I had, to some degree, even fewer boundaries And so in an environment where there's a concept or many concepts that are heavily promoted, like fame and fortune and lifestyles of the rich and famous and unlimited earning, unlimited recognition, stage time in front of thousands of people, prizes, awards, recognition, all of those kinds of things, the performance addiction that I was battling just glommed right onto those. And I found that it just began to spin. And it began to spin so very quickly. And I figured out very quickly how to use some of my God-given skills and talents to create a lot of success in that environment, to be a world-ranked representative, mm-hmm. to, earn all of the international trips and all of the big perks and the big rewards and whatnot. But really what it ultimately looked like in reality was a mindset of obsession, tremendous anxiety, because with every goal that I reached, that simply meant that there was just another one waiting for me. And so there was never a moment to really celebrate, because it was a scoreboard-based business. And the scoreboard monitored my performance second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. And so really, truly, from a realistic standpoint, from the outside looking in, I perhaps looked like a hamster on a wheel who was continuously running and never able to figure out how to get off. So it looked like obsession. It looked like anxiety. It looked like a mindset of success at nearly any price. It looked like a life being lived completely unharmoniously. It was exhausting.
Yeah.
It was challenging. And yet those fleeting moments of success would very deceptively present themselves at the most opportune times, which for me in battling that performance addiction was actually just like taking a hit.
Right, right.
Like a cocaine user would. And so consequently, any success was actually filled with grief. Little did I know, I couldn't have verbalized that at that time, but now I can. Filled with grief, and only served to continue the addiction, but never provided any true sense of fulfillment or peace or joy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's so true. I remember back in the early days of my career, I traveled a lot, and there was one year I made 1,000,000 miles on the airline. And there's something so powerful about feeling like you are somebody, right? This affirmation coming from somewhere else, like forget the fact that it was awful to fly that much and to travel that much, right? But this whole thing of somebody saying, you are amazing, here's all this first class, everything. And you start believing those things that aren't true and they are not life-giving, right? So from the outside looking in, would people just go, wow, Amy has got it together? But on the inside, what started unraveling for you to where it kind of led to getting out of that world?
Absolutely. That would have been the picture from the outside. Mm-hmm. It was all the picture, also the picture that I was expected mm-hmm. to uphold. There was a tremendous, relentless pressure around creating an image of perfection that not only impacted me and how I was to carry myself in having no points of vulnerability and existing kind of as this perfect image yep. of leadership or personhood, but that was also expected for my family. And so my husband was in the midst of that. Our two daughters were in the midst of that our life, our home, our lifestyle was very much held to that unreachable standard. And when we all hear things dialogued like this, I think it's very natural for us to think, what in the world are we thinking? Right. How in the world could I fall into this trap? And I'm smarter than this. Like, mm-hmm. what was happening? But I clearly know what was happening. I was searching very much for the significance that you just talked about. I was searching deeply for unconditional love, and I was attempting to be in control of every facet of my life. Now, all of that being said, and all of that happening at the same time, I was growing my faith, had strong spiritual disciplines in place, was leading people to Christ. I was regularly holding prayer calls for people to participate in. I was hosting weekend retreats that included worship services. You name it. I was checking that box too.
Right.
However, what that brings into question is, are we simply trying to run a race constantly doing for God, or are we living and leading from God and how He's blessed us, focused on being in His presence and being the person whom He has called us to be and equipped us to be? Mm-hmm. And then the doing simply comes as a byproduct out of our being. Without question, I had the two things backwards.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful distinction, the for and the from. Because when you're a performer, the for can come really easy. But the from is a place of surrender. And that is not as easy when you are a type A, get it done kind of person, right?
Yeah, it's the kind of surrender that you do when you say it with your mouth, but you're clenching your fists in the process.
Right.
And refusing to.
Or you're shaking your head at the same time.
Right.
Coming out of your mouth.
Or stomping your foot and, you know, digging your heels in.
Right.
Absolutely. So essentially, it was like I was living two lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to feel the internal conflict of being completely misaligned from my God-given calling and purposes.
Yeah, so talk about that. You know, whether it was a turning point or a series of turning points for you, but what kind of started turning the ship, if you will, a different direction for you that said, I can't keep doing this?
There was actually a distinct moment, and that was backed by a series of additional moments that the Lord allowed me to step into. But the distinct moment that I experienced was very public. I was standing on a stage in front of 10,000 people, and I was being recognized for being number two in a division out of 4 million people that worldwide had placed me in the top four at that time.
Wow.
And of course, any number of those individuals would have easily traded places with me, everybody except the person who was number one. And it wasn't good enough for me. Number two wasn't good enough because I had for years and years and years been going after being number one.
Mm-hmm.
And for what, right? Because in all honesty, the number one would have lasted not even a minute, because the second the deadline hit, 1 minute later, the scoreboard cleared back to zero. But in that moment, in front of 10,000 people, God just revealed His beautiful grace and His love and His truth. And I heard Him whisper to me as tears were falling down my face on that stage, "This race is over. I have so much more for you." So I shifted my focus at that time, and I began a new ascent, if you will, within the same career, but a focus that was slightly different, yet continued in the same old patterns, pouring all of myself into this new focus, which instead of being a ranked position, was a promotion that would be a forever. And that was to step into the pinnacle position of the company. And all of those pieces of the puzzle came together, and I stepped into that position at age 37, falsely believing that that minor shift in direction would change the scoreboard focus, and that in that new role, I would instead be able to have a different key focus than just how the scoreboard was ticking. And in all reality, it didn't change at all.
Yeah, in that moment,
there's a bigger scoreboard.
Yeah, in that moment of that shift, did you kind of know, like, oh, I'm going to soft pedal this change a little bit because I know that to exit out now would be too hard of a shift. And so to kind of gently move into something, hoping that maybe that's the difference. If I just eliminate this kind of year-to-year scoreboard, and maybe if I just move into this more executive role, that will be all it takes, right? I don't need to fully exit here.
That was exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And what I falsely believed, and honestly, how the pinnacle position was promoted throughout the company. So when I reached that position and realized that that wasn't at all true, and that the same race was being run, and that there was very little that had changed, that instead the pressures became even more significant, the expectations held for me of perfection became even greater, I began to crumble.
Mm-hmm.
I began to crumble internally. And the Lord began to reveal to me through a series of just scales falling from my eyes almost as the truths were revealed. The glitter fell off quickly.
Yeah.
And the passion began to wane. And I began to see both an environment for what it truly was, and I began to recognize my own performance addiction that had at that time totally owned my life for 3 decades.
So how do you get out? That has got to be extremely terrifying.
It was at first, which I believe is normal.
Mm-hmm.
Change is difficult. Change is challenging. And I had well sold my family. So they were also all caught up in everything on the belief that this was a forever.
Mm-hmm.
And had invested, 95% of my career at that point in time into all of this. So to look at a new picture was really difficult. What compounded that situation was that I was the first person ever in the history of the company in the position that I was in to exit by choice.
Right.
So the greatest part of difficulty was as I began to accept that God might be leading me in a new direction. And I wish that I could say that I surrendered immediately and that I was completely obedient, but I would be lying. That crucible moment was a total wrestling match with the Lord.
Yeah.
Because I was attempting to negotiate with him and believing that perhaps he had positioned me in that role, in that time period, to create significant change within that organization. So throughout that wrestling match, which extended far beyond just a few minutes, but more like months and a couple years, I began to stand for the truth that he was revealing to me at every opportunity that I could get. So anytime I had the opportunity to be a public voice, anytime that I had the opportunity to do national or international training, I began to speak a different message that God had given me that I believed was assigned to me at that time. And great disappointment settled in the further along I went in realizing I'm not assigned to be here for the long haul.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time trying to kind of take that next step and then being confronted with this still isn't it, right? This still isn't the answer. So you finally make the decision to leave. Tell us about what that was like, what the day after felt like.
You bet. Well, and in the process of coming to that decision, it was in totality, what am I leaving? Right? Yeah. In totality. So if I'm leaving, then that means that I'm walking away from a retirement plan. I'm walking away from all the perks and all the privileges. I'm walking away from the totally secure six-figure income.
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking away from a platform of influence that I had built for, nearly 20 years. I'm walking away from comfort. All of those things were the pieces that were so hard to walk away from initially. The bigger component were the relationships, because I began to realize that there was a great reality that when I walked away from a culture that is very challenged in doing exits well.
Mm-hmm. Well, because nobody leaves.
Because nobody leaves. And you're either in or you're out.
Mm-hmm.
That there was a great likelihood that I would lose relationships that mm-hmm. I had invested in for very significant periods of time, and very deeply and very fiercely investing in people. That was the hardest part, was mm-hmm. that piece, knowing that that reality was likely. However, I also knew that freedom awaited me, because my surrender and willingness to be totally obedient meant that in taking this step, I could leave the addiction behind once and for all and step into the arms of Jesus and live in an entirely different way.
I'm amazed at the courage that that took, because like you said, people don't walk away from that. And it is probably what binds so many people to jobs that they don't feel that there is their true purpose in, but because the perks are too great, that's unthinkable to walk away from something like that. So when you leave and you now step into something new, what were the things that you got fired up about where God was taking you into this next journey of your life?
What most fired me up was being able to step into a whole new chapter completely free.
Mm-hmm.
I had felt like I was a bird in a cage, and that my identity was owned.
Yeah.
And that had been communicated to me, that was the case. And there's nothing like knowing the feeling of being trapped or feeling like your wings are being held down and then being set free, where I could just focus on being full out who God has called me to be and loving Him and knowing Him and prayerfully allowing Him to use me in even the smallest of ways to create kingdom impact. Just so liberating.
Yeah. Well, and it's such a beautiful story, because you wanted to create a kingdom impact inside the organization and it wasn't possible. And so now I love that visual of a bird stuck in a cage with its wings tied, and now you're free and out of the cage and getting to soar into new areas that God has opened up for you. So let's talk about some of those new places that you've been spending your time and your effort and your energy and for the kingdom. Like, share with us just what has been kind of thrilling about how you're spending your time there in Omaha and bringing leaders together.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I think of, first of all, career-wise, being able to come alongside of people as their leadership coach, help them work through, navigate through tough places, stuck spaces, to re-root themselves out of their true identity. Because I believe that it is out of who we are that determines how we influence and ultimately what we're able to achieve. So to be able to come alongside of leaders in our community and beyond and champion their God-given potential has been incredible. And to allow them to choose, for them to choose, if they want to have a scoreboard that they're being held to or not, what that looks like in their life, and to be able to customize experiences for them has been wonderful.
Yeah, I love that, what you just said about re-root themselves in their identity, right? Because it is so difficult in the corporate space to let those things be who you are. You know, we do it so naturally, even just in everyday conversation. Oh, what do you do? And it's that instantaneous identity that happens. So I love that you're getting to really help people, you know, first unpack what that looks like for themselves, right? And then kind of create a new narrative potentially.
Absolutely. You know, and within that narrative, that leads us to, you know, how will you then influence and ultimately What do you want to achieve? What does finishing well really look like for you in your life? So that has been that space, and that has been incredibly exhilarating. But I sit in an open posture. I sit in an open posture, just allowing God to guide and direct and facilitate my movement and the direction that He would have me go in and the assignments that He would give me. And so in this process of transition and getting myself, allowing Him actually to free me up and disentangle me from a place of entrenchment, all of these beautiful service opportunities have been presented to me, where once I would have separated or differentiated between what I'm doing as my work and what I'm doing as my service, I now am allowing those two things to just beautifully and harmoniously, as God would have it, coexist in my life. And so I don't look at it as a, this is what I do for work and this is what I do in the community. So in all of the beautiful service opportunities that have been presented, there's this incredible movement happening in Omaha, Nebraska, that is God-breathed and God-infused. And I just see myself as one of many who have been called into a space to co-create a movement with Him that is beautiful. It's a movement centered on unity. It's a movement centered around championing leadership excellence. It's a movement on how are we impacting and growing His kingdom and the capital C church in our city.
So tell us about that, because now you're totally speaking our language here. So what are some of the specifics about things that you're being able to be a part of there in Omaha, and what are some of the things that are really like, I cannot believe God's doing this in our city?
Well, one of the most exciting things is this unique series of relationships that God has created in an organization in our community called Within Reach. And Within Reach represents anywhere from 35 to 45 churches, at least right now, going for 100, all unified and all committed to the capital C church, with four primary focuses that this organization has. So the very first is growth within the church, and each of those churches represented, and not growth from transfers from one church to another, growth based on conversions and lives being given to Jesus Christ. The second tenet that Within Reach has is planting new churches. The third is serving compassionately. And the fourth is leadership development. So that's this beautiful organization that is led by phenomenal ministry leaders in our community. Alongside of that, we might say that there is like a partner or a sister organization that represents the marketplace. And that organization is OmahaLeaders.com. And OmahaLeaders.com being comprised of both marketplace and ministry leaders who are committed to growing, serving, and championing leadership in our community is very much invested in what Within Reach is doing so that we can add to the unity in our city and very specifically provide any support that we can provide to grow that fourth tenet of leadership development. Now, the other component that plays a huge role in how OmahaLeaders.com was birthed is the Global Leadership Summit. In fact, Omaha Leaders was birthed directly out of the engagement of marketplace leaders in our community in the summit. And we've seen incredible growth in a movement surrounding the Global Leadership Summit in Omaha over the last couple of years. In fact, last year, we were recognized as the number two city movement around everything that's happening in the summit in our community.
Yeah, let's just stop there for a second, because I think it's really critical. We all might be doing different things in our city, but our goals are still all city transformation, right? Is that people's lives will be transformed in and through the offerings, whether it's Global Leadership Summit or the Abide Network. You know, it's that idea of what can we do more together? Especially when you have the situation like a global leadership summit where you're bringing all kinds of people together for an event. And we see this in at Palau as well, is, you know, we want to create an on-ramp for people then to go, okay, well, what else could we do outside of just this event that we could continue to stay united and connected for our city? And I think that's one of the beautiful things about what you're doing with the leaders and the marketplace leaders there in Omaha.
Absolutely. You know, the Global Leadership Summit is an incredible launching pad. Mm-hmm. And that launching pad is posturing us in a position where we can excitedly, enthusiastically, passionately create dialogues within our community all throughout the year that involve marketplace leaders, that involve ministry leaders, that involve believers, that involve unbelievers, but all coming together around one table with conversation around the question, what would God dream for our city? Mm-hmm. What is he dreaming for our
city? I love that question.
And what does he desire to do in our city? And so really, we're in the very beginning stages of what this all looks like. But what we're doing right now is we're listening. We're listening for what he would tell us and where he would guide us. We're listening to what the people of Omaha would tell us their needs are and how we can do a better job in meeting those needs. And we're creating spaces and places that are safe to have healthy dialogues about leadership and growth. And of course, we all know that when leadership gets better, everybody wins.
That's right.
So after the summit, for example, we're creating monthly leadership luncheons that have a wide open door. Come one, come all, and just engage with us in a healthy space where we can have important dialogues and where we can lead from Christ-centered leadership principles to impact God's kingdom in our city. We'll have mastermind groups that are going on as well that obviously are positioned more for those that want to take the even deeper dive in content presented at the Global Leadership Summit by the faculty members. And through those connections and relationships and organic networking that's happening in the community, I believe it will be incredible to see what God will do. In fact, part of our growth as a city movement related to the summit is that the Archdiocese of Omaha is the very first of the Catholic churches in the nation to come on board with the Global Leadership Summit efforts. Hmm. So not only does that mean that the Archdiocese is hosting the Global Leadership Summit for the first time ever in the history of the summit, and they're hosting here in Omaha, but it means that their group of leaders are engaged in the conversations that we're having at the leadership luncheons and all of the other things that we're providing. And so this network of people coming together really could only happen through God and what he has planned for our city.
Yeah, I think it's just another testimony to when you step into those places that God is calling you to, right? He's already in those places. He's just asking us to come and participate and be a part and experience the true joy of seeing these lives come really ignited around the vision for the city, the vision that God has for the city. It's really beautiful. And there's so many incredible people there in Omaha. Ron Dotzler with the Abide Network and what you guys are doing. Amy, it's been several years since you've kind of exited and you've on this new journey. And what do you dream about now? Like, what are the things that you just go, I want to see God do this?
It's a great question. And it's an exciting space to be in. Mm-hmm. When we're asking the question of what's God dreaming about for mm-hmm. us and what does he have for us? Stephanie, if you had asked me that question a few years ago, I would likely have given you an answer that related to some kind of achievement or accomplishment. Mm-hmm. I maybe would have backed that with numbers or something that would be incredibly measurable in terms of our human standards. But where God has me now is in this beautiful space of no longer striving to hit the next thing, but instead striding forward with long intentional steps in the same direction at his pace, which is the pace of grace, mm-hmm. toward what he has called me to. What I am most passionate about is loving him and knowing him, and that my life, that every part of my life and my leadership would speak to his love, his grace, his mercy, and the beauty and perfection of his kingdom. So how he will use me in that space, I don't know exactly how that will look. I just know that each day I show up for the assignment that he has given me to invest 150%, not in a ranking or an achievement or a goal, but in the people that he places in front of me.
That is one of the most beautiful responses I've ever heard to that kind of question. Amy, what would you say to people who are maybe can really relate to the performance addiction that you had? What would you say to those people that are kind of thinking, that might be me?
That I get it, that I know what that pain feels like to be living in an addiction that is not only so accepted by the world, but is actually promoted mm-hmm. and encouraged, but to recognize when God speaks to you and reveals to you that that's actually what's happening in your life, that you're living more from a place of doing than you are from a place of being, and that the freedom on the other side of that is indescribable. And that no income, no fame, no recognition, no perks, no privileges can hold a candle to the peace that you have on a daily basis when you're walking in freedom with Jesus.
Amen, sister. I think you are incredible. And if people want to get a hold of you and learn more about what you're doing and maybe even contact you for coaching and leadership development, what would be the best way for them to do that?
I can be found on Twitter and on Facebook, and our website is www.whoyouarecoaching.com.
Amy, thank you so much. I can't wait to see what God is going to do in and through you, not only in Omaha, but I think he has some pretty big things for you to speak into people's lives. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Stephanie, for having me.
Hey everyone, I want to leave you with a reminder about the City Gospel Movement's coaching program. You heard Rich at the beginning of this episode with all of his enthusiasm to help leaders like you. Whether you're just starting or a long ways in the game, there's a whole team of coaches like Rich who want to help you take your leadership to the next level in your city. Check out citygospelmovements.org/coaching and we'll connect you soon.
Thank you for listening to the City Gospel Movement's podcast, where we celebrate and accelerate collaborative gospel work in cities around the world. For more resources, show notes, and to get connected to gospel movements around the globe, visit citygospelmovements.org. That's citygospelmovements.org. Keep believing in what God can do in your city.